cooperatives, or at least the option to deregulate, and then the proposed regulations that would bring them back in again. And the concern that the commission had in terms of if they're deregulated, they're just going to go run rampant out there and then bare all the wires and chisel away at the poles or whatever it might be and create all of these safety hazards. Can you expand on that just a little bit more? At least that's the impression I got.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to do that anymore.
We're just talking. We're still on the record.
Mr. Chairman, I have no concerns about that. Absolutely not. I guess the problem that some people, commissioners or others, felt is there had to be some kind of vehicle in which the service and safety standards could be focused within the state, whether regulated and deregulated. Does a certificated monopoly have an obligation under their certificate to provide safe, efficient service, whether they're economically, remember, they're not deregulated in toto, they're economically deregulated, which means they still have the certificate, which is their monopoly paper. So the question is what minimal standards or what agency should enforce it? My predisposition is I don't feel that our regulation should be applicable.
Don't they have boards out there or something there? Don't they elect a board?
And now we're talking about co-ops.
Right. Or most of these utilities, aren't they? Are there any electrical co-ops out there or any electrical users that are under your jurisdiction without some board to answer to the people living in the area?
Yes. All the investor-owned.
Where are those?
Tanana, which Tanana Power, Keller.
I think if you
deregulated, Senator, were you speaking of entities that are not fully regulated, they're certificated and not economically regulated, and don't have do any in that category not have boards? Is that your question, or was it generally? Are there any?
Well, I'm thinking more about electrical utilities, right? Are there any of those electrical utilities operating out there without boards?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The investor-owned would not have a board, but while Chairman Guest is looking that up, I make the observation that there's an awful lot of great faith and reliance upon the boards necessarily to take care of this problem, if it is a problem. I suggest to you that the record and the history of the co-ops up here is not that clean. For example, ABEC had a board of directors when it got in very, very serious financial difficulty and had to come to the commission and through the legislature to get funds for a management audit, which we were able to do with the help of the legislature and turn it around. 3A is another one that has all sorts of problems. And I suggest, and Chugach Electric. Chugach Electric is a prime example. They had a board of directors, and they got in very, very serious financial shape. Now, that board is gone, and there's a new board there. But I suggest to you the fact that there is a board of directors in there does not necessarily guarantee safe, efficient, reliable service at the lowest cost possible. But if the people in those areas say, hey, I don't care what you're talking about, Weatherly, I want my board at Chugach to run my affairs, then give them the opportunity to vote and to vote out. That's a democratic way. That's how you got in office and all of the other representatives and senators. And if the people want to vote out from under APUC regulation, hey, I'm all for it. I don't want to hold them in.
Okay, I guess I have no problems with that, and some of them have opted out, but the new regulations that have been proposed, I haven't seen them. From what I can see or understand, what's been relayed to me is that, yes, you were under APUC, yes, you went through a vote, yes, you are deregulated, but now these new regulations are saying, well, no, you're not deregulated. You're right back under here again.
That is not the case. The case of it is that it applies a very narrow standard with regards to service and safety standards to the utility. It doesn't go to economic regulation. You don't mess around with their management. You don't mess around with what the rate of return is and the rest of it. To me, that's not regulation. But again, like I said, I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm with you. I don't think they should apply.
Now, you mentioned there that you're going to go whatever way the people decide to go on these, and you're going to run these regulations out for public hearing, right? And what's it going to take if you have 100 people respond and one person says, I'm opposed to this.
You can't do it by numbers. You're going to have to weigh what the substance of the evidence. If someone comes in to you, Senator, and says, and you're sitting as a commissioner, and says, hey, I don't like a rate increase. I don't want a rate increase. Hey, that is a big zero, a big goose egg as far as having any impact on me. If they come in and say, hey, I don't want a rate increase because I have documentation with me that shows that this utility is inefficient and they're squandering my money, that's a different story. The staff of the commission, who are made up of professional electrical engineers, will be there in the workshop to work with the utilities to work out these differences that they might have, so we'll have a smooth, hopefully have a smooth hearing. You can't do it on numbers, you have to do it on substance.
Okay, what is the definition of deregulation?
Under the statute.
What is the definition of deregulation?
It depends on what forum you're talking about.
Now, what is the definition of deregulation?
To remove all regulation.
All right. Now, if you have utilities that are out there that are deregulated, by that definition, why are they still being pulled under when most of these people still have boards that are accountable to the people that are out there?
Because
if those guys are not functioning right and doing what they're supposed to do, they're not going to be serving on those boards. I think we've got to give a little bit more credibility to the people that are out there.
Because, Senator, number one, they are not totally deregulated. I gave you my definition of deregulation, but the statute which your predecessors wrote said that they will be exempt from regulation except for Section 270 through 281.
221.
Through AS 4205. 281. You're the one that put the limitations in there. I didn't.
Okay, what are those limitations?
They're spelled out in the exemption statute under 711, AS 4205, 711.
I think, basically, to respond to your question, they are not deregulated as to getting a certificate, which means designating a service area and the type of service that they can provide. And any conditions that might appropriately be attached to giving them that piece of paper that generally, in almost all instances, monopoly opportunity. The legislature did not deregulate them in that regard. So that means that if I wanted to go into the, let's say, telephone business or electric business, I cannot go into a community and just set up shop. I still have to, even if I would qualify for a deregulation election, I would still have to come in and get permission from the commission to provide that type of service in that area.
But they're still functioning under those parameters, right?
The certificate parameters?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right. The legislature did not deregulate them on the certification side, service area side, only on the economics of what rates they charge, et cetera.
Are all of these regulations that are being proposed, do they fall within these statutory limitations?
Well, I think the intent, and it's obvious that it's generated a lot more debate, but I don't think the intent was to go beyond that, but simply to be looking at whether it would be desirable, appropriate to establish service and safety standards that would in effect be a condition of a certificate. In other words, if you have a certificate, you in effect are accepting responsibility for this level of service, and that was the approach that was used. It was not, and I can assure you, as Carolyn said earlier, a work expansion mentality, but simply a clarification of what it meant to have a certificate, what your obligations were when you have a certificate. And maybe that's still inappropriate, but that was the purpose.
Okay, well, it seems like there's a real fine line here. Maybe there's something that's not being communicated that needs to be worked on, because here again, it's a matter of perception. Either you're regulated or you're deregulated.
I think you probably gathered that those who are deregulated really don't like regulation. I mean, they're very, very sensitive on these points, and perhaps they may be overreacting, and perhaps we may have been insensitive when we proposed the regulations to how they would be perceived, and perhaps we have gone beyond in our proposal. We're still waiting for evidence on this.
But we do have a forum for them to react, and that is through the testimony in the hearing process.
Okay, but I guess we want to make sure there that our minds are not locked into saying, you're going to get these regulations,
Senator,
whether you want them or not.
No, I think we have bent over backwards because of this issue. I think it's legitimate. Frankly, I hope you all will give us some guidance with a letter of intent, you know, when you do whatever you're going to do about our sunset review, because I think it is a concern. If you say to the commission, it is our intent that you do not promulgate safety regulations that would reach to only certificated utilities, that's fine. But what we're concerned about is, by still having that certificate authority, is there some minimal level of service that they must meet as far as safety is concerned, and is there any liability on our part? Now, if you direct us and say, 712 says exempt, we believe that it is exempt from safety and engineering requirements, that's fine. We'll do it. Our hearing isn't till June. We'll back off. I mean, because we're doing what the legislature has said do. And obviously,
well,
there is a concern that we may have overstepped or overreached. But we certainly have not made up our minds.
Well,
I think there's a legal question.
Let's not just get in there and say that we're doing what the legislature told us to do. Because if we told you to do everything there that is reflected in the complaints that we've seen, then something's wrong.
Well, we see the statute where it says the commission shall. And that's, frankly, I expected to be really chastised by this committee because they told us 5 years ago to do electric service standards. And we've tried. But we go and we get comments and we have workshops with utilities and consumers. We go out for testimony. We get more comments. And because of administrative rules, which I think are right, you have something stale, you have to re-notice it and go to hearing, and that's where we are. I can assure you that this commission has not made up its mind. These are proposed. But again, if the legislature believes that we have overstepped or overreached, please tell us. Because we will amend the proposed regulations, but we still believe that those electric utilities that are subject to the regulation of the commission, that we've got to have service and safety standards.
Well, let me suggest to you, then, rather than wait for the legislature to tell you, listen to the people out there and to see if there are a large number of complaints, where they're coming from.
Now, when Senator, listen to the people, you mean the consumers, the concerns out there?
The consumers, the utilities, whoever. If the utilities are speaking because they're having to charge their consumers a little bit more, the consumers are complaining because their rates are going up, you're going to have to listen to somebody.
But
and
I think, Senator,
you can't wait for the legislature to respond when we're here for 120 days.
And I don't think we are. We have a teleconference date set up to listen to consumers. We have a workshop set up this month to work with the utilities on the whatever the technical aspects of the proposals are, and we also have the testifying hearing process for all the utilities. We are doing everything possible to get as much input as we can.
Is there anybody on that 5:30 flight?
Yes, sir. Two.
Any further questions? I do have a number of other questions, but I'd like to get together with you on this here.
Pardon?
I'd like to get together with you on this
here,
if we could. And maybe we can iron out some of these differences.
Sure.
We ran a little bit close last night on the timing and realized that you want to clear some dockets tomorrow. So
matter of fact, we have two major decisions, Senator, that must be made this week. In addition, we have a proceeding going on right now in Anchorage in regard to water content in oil that's being handled right now, and there are no commissioners in Anchorage, so.
I appreciate the representative. Of course, you can see the interest, the Senate members here were here to make their comments. And I appreciate the House members who are here. Certainly appreciate the commission coming down in force to impress us. And
Well, Sarah,
it's
I hope...
It's been a pleasure to meet, meet with you in person, and I'm sure that we're going to have more conversations going on. There were a couple of concerns that we had with the legislative audit report and questions that came up. I'd like to go over that with Mr. Jensen here also probably in the next day or so. There are some other areas that I was concerned about. Maybe we could do that before you get into your full review with the commission. And then there were some concerns that I had with the differences in the reporting. I think I'd like to get those and see where they are. And again, appreciate you coming down at this time. I realize the time is stranger. Is that the gavel you're...